Hey guys, before we get started, I just wanted to apologize in advance for some of the audio quality discrepancies you're about to experience. As much as I'd love to blame Trevor, it wasn't his fault this time. But you can get a refund from him for this show. If you need a refund, the total purchase price is of course free. Just send him an email at trevor.furlott@gmail.com and he'll take care of that refund for you. But otherwise, sorry about it. But I hope you enjoy the show anyway.
Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time. Something between me and the sun when the talking is over. It's time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 31 of Slam Fire Radio for November 14th, 2013. I'm one of your hosts, the Warning Shot McClatchy.
And I'm another one of your hosts.
That's the prepping warrior, Fluelling.
Oh, in case you to say who I was. Yeah. I wanted to be anonymous tonight. Oh well, never mind.
Too late. and you can hear chuckles in the background there.
Chuckles.
Yeah. Chuckles is not my name.
Is that his new nickname? Chuckles.
That was my stage name in the '80s, but I don't go by that anymore.
I love it.
I'm Trevor.
The Furlotte.
Indeed.
Furlot.
Indeed.
Come on. Got to follow the pattern here. And joining us tonight, we have the one and only, actually it's probably Knox, it's a pretty common name.
McDonald?
Old McDonald.
Oh, yeah. E-I-E-I-O.
That's how you spell that, right, Greg?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard that joke before? I'm just curious.
Never.
Usually
not once.
I've got like original material.
No, that's pretty new.
I never go for the obvious.
Or the easy.
Or
the shortcut.
I feel like
I could wash the car, or I could wait for it to rain.
That's the way I like it. Rain.
Why make my
rain
bed?
Is...
I'm only gonna mess it up again.
All right. Enough of the whatever squat. That is. Let's cut. Yeah, let's get rid of the squirrel right off the bat. And Greg, thanks for joining us. You're going to be talking to us a little bit later on about your wicked, cool, awesome...
No, he's talking about an Orinco.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Slow
okay, so you're going to talk to us about your Chinese piece of crap. But for now, why don't you regale us with tales from what you've done with guns this last couple of weeks or so?
Well, I'm working up in Alberta, so not very much, to be honest.
Oh,
now,
you're from Alberta. You're a listener from Alberta. Do you carry a handgun as well when you're out in the woods?
I'm in Newfoundland, man. I just work in Alberta.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Don't confuse me with those Albertans, those Flatlanders.
Oh, we just lost Trevor. That's funny.
Oh, really?
So we'll just continue right on,
that's
and
awesome.
He'll come back whenever he manages to figure out how his internet works.
So. Did you magically lose your Newfoundland accent or?
Yeah, I kind of had to lose it to fit in up in Alberta.
Okay.
So are you currently in Alberta or currently in Newfoundland?
I'm in St. John's, Newfoundland right now.
I was just there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I even said on the show I was gonna be there. I even put it on Facebook. Have you liked us on Facebook?
Slamfire?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see,
all
had
right,
you, you would have known
he's
that
done.
I was there. Yeah, you're off the show, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not
no,
up
it's
on
okay.
all these Facebook likes.
Yeah, no, we're not even.
Don't take
but anyway,
it
yeah, no, I was just there in St. John's for a wedding, and I had a couple of days to kill, and it would have been really cool to hang out with you, but fine, be that way.
I'm just kind so, back to Newfoundland myself.
He was in Alberta.
Oh, so you were there while I was... Okay, gotcha.
I was making big money.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard the big money's in Newfoundland almost now.
No, not as good as Alberta.
No, I suppose. But I know a few people from here that's gone up to Newfoundland to work.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah, what else did you... So you haven't done anything then?
No, not really. I'm going shooting tomorrow. I'm probably going coyote hunting on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
So I'm debating whether to bring my my Savage 10 precision carbine or my Type 97. Not sure. Not sure what the coyotes are like.
Yeah. Like howitzer is probably the best way to go.
Probably.
Something big.
I'd like to bring a 45-70 if I could.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd knock the dogs down.
Well, Trevor's trying to get back on. He's signing back in. So
hello?
When he gets back, he's back.
Hello, can you hear me now?
This is like the worst show start ever.
Yeah, but, or the best.
Or the best.
Which for us, usually the worst is the worst. Best. It's like a liberal government. It's played with malfunctions.
Kind of like Obamacare.
No Obamacare. That's funny.
Well, Greg just wrapped up telling us how he shot a velociraptor in the back of the head with a BB gun the other day.
Darn, I missed all the cool stuff. So
you definitely missed the cool stuff. But the really cool stuff is that we're moving into Owen now. So, Owen,
right.
What did you do this week?
I did some things. I'm going to go back 2 weeks because I missed the show last week.
Wait, yeah, where were you?
Wait, velociraptors are extinct.
Not Newfoundland.
I thought he was in Alberta. Now he's hunting ducks.
No, he's back in Newfoundland, apparently.
Did he club a seal?
Not yet, but I think he's gonna.
All right. I'm sorry.
I was working last week, unfortunately. I think that's what I was doing.
A lot.
You were working.
I actually did listen to last week's show. And so,
oh, sorry about that then. I didn't mean for you to hear all that stuff we said about you.
That's the only reason I know what I was doing last week, because you said I was working on the show, and so that's...
and you know why, Matthew? Because I sent him a text and said, we actually didn't throw you under the bus, and he listened because he didn't believe me.
Right, that makes sense.
You did at the beginning, I'm pretty sure, Trevor.
So did you manage to listen to the first iteration of the Gen 1 version, if you will, last week, or the Gen 2?
I am afraid I missed all of Trevor's bodily functions.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, sorry, listeners who managed to tune in early last week. Trevor didn't quite figure out how to mute his mic properly. He thought he had, and I couldn't hear him, and neither could Daniel, but Call Burner certainly did, and so did you. So if you do want to rehear that interview without Trevor's bodily functions, you can re-download it now. The file is the same, and all of those are now gone.
And if you do want to hear it.
Yeah, it's too late. Those are gone.
No,
I'm going to have some money on that, guys.
Oh, Trevor has it. It's going to be a bonus episode.
Take two.
The director's cut. You know, bonus. Yeah.
So much phlegm, so little.
That could be the tagline.
Yeah. How about we get back to guns?
All right.
Yeah, so Owen, fill us back in here.
Okay, so...
Did you kill anything?
I took a buddy of mine hunting from a couple weeks ago. You may remember I was doing that coming weekend. So he came up and he took him hunting for the very first time, and we
did. He kill anything?
He did. He shot a grouse, very first grouse we saw, actually.
Fantastic.
On the wing or on the ground?
On the ground.
With a shotgun or a .22?
Shotgun.
Oh, the lamest way to kill a grouse. But still, he killed a grouse, so that's cool.
There's no lame way to kill a grouse.
Unless you shoot it in the leg.
Oh, that's lame. I see what you did there.
Considering what you probably shot this week, Matt, I think we did all right.
You certainly did.
So, yeah, he got his first grouse, and we saw a couple more later in the day, but we didn't get shots at him. And then on the Tuesday... We went duck hunting, goose hunting, kind of a mixed bag in a field. We weren't set up the best, and there was pretty heavy frost, and so our blinds, of course, with our body heat in the blind, melted all the frost, but yet there was still frost on the ground. So we kind of stuck out like sore thumbs in the field, but we still managed to get about 5 geese and a few ducks. So he was.
That's cool.
Yeah, he actually did manage to shoot a couple of the geese. So he was pretty pumped about that.
No doubt.
And yeah, so he's totally hooked, like hook, line, sinker, rod fisherman. Like he is all in on the hunting thing.
Beauty.
So that was great. And then on Saturday, I took a friend of mine, actually an old SCA buddy of mine, to the range. His son is interested in kind of showing an interest in firearms and gunsmithing. So,
oh, that's cool. You need more gunsmiths. It's a dying breed.
Yeah. So I said, well, the first thing you should do, I think his son is like 14 or 15. So I said, you should, you know, get your PALs, take the course, and, you know, start getting some guns to get familiar with them, you know, and then down the road, you can, you know, take a gunsmithing course or whatever. So they've done that. They were all lined up. They're taking their PAL courses in February. And I just said, this fall, and we'll get in touch, and we'll go to the range, and you can shoot a bunch of stuff. So that's what we did, and shot AR and the handguns and shotguns and 30-30, and stupidly enough, I left my 22 at home.
Oops.
I had it in the head, my 10-22 in a case, and left it on my bed. So, but I had my conversion kit for the AR, so I threw that in. And
did it work good?
Yeah, it did, actually.
Unlike Trevor's?
Yeah, I wasn't
shooting. Don't blame me. Blame the clone.
I was just going to say, that's right. Blame Filthy. Another listener under the busts, episode 31.
So that worked great, and he had a blast.
You know what we need? You know those stupid cartoon things that people do of themselves? You know, I forget what it's called.
Bit strips.
We need a picture of a school bus with us hosts throwing listeners under the bus. Because we're stuck in the snow and we're using them for traction. That's what we need. So any of you out there who are good at that thing, I want that posted on our Facebook right away.
Listeners, I do not support this idea. I respect you.
Well, so do I. You guys are great traction, especially when you have your camo clothes on. They work real good for digging into that snow.
I like you the way you are. You can come over for dinner. Stop by, say hi. We'll make fun of Matthew.
Oh, that's fun too. Hey, I can take it because I know I give it out.
Yep. So that's we did that. And then on Monday, I went deer hunting, and I tracked a deer for several kilometers through the swamps and the woods and across through leaves and the snow and everything until I finally lost it, and I have no idea where it went, but...
You lost it as in, like, you went postal, you lost it, or?
No, as in...
Just lost the deer.
Yeah, I lost the trail. I had planned on going to a certain spot and sitting, because I'd done my scouting, and I knew where this deer was more or less traveling in one area, and the plan was to go and sit there and wait for it to walk by, you know, first thing in the morning. So I get there first thing in the morning, not quite as early as I should have, but anyway, I get there, and there's freshly fallen snow from Sunday, so I'm thinking, this is great, you know, I walk in, and there, coming directly out of the path where I knew it was going to come from, are the footprints all the way along, and it literally walked directly across and underneath the tree that I was going to sit under.
So you didn't get there in time.
I didn't get there in time. Who knows what? I mean, I'm 90% sure it was a buck, just from the sign and stuff I've seen around. It might be coming out at night. Who knows? I mean,
yeah.
They usually
start to go nocturnal at this time of year. Are you using any kind of scent lock clothing or garments? And are you using any
scent cover? Yeah.
Okay.
It was perfect. I mean, if I had been there, the deer would have walked right out and I would have shot in the face. So, I mean, it would have been perfect, but, you know, it is what it is. I got two more Saturdays, and I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, tomorrow's a Saturday. Am I coming down tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Friday.
Oh, tomorrow's Friday. Oh. So no, then. Basically no is what you're trying to say here.
Pretty much.
Maybe Saturday?
Hey, you don't know. We'll have to discuss it.
All right. What, on the show is not a good time?
No. I don't want people to know how much I hate you.
Right.
I was sure he was going to say, we'll discuss it later when Trevor's not listening.
No, you're invited too. Somebody's got to clean the deer.
I'm in.
So anyway, that's pretty much it for me.
Cool. Well, I'm going to jump in because I know it says Trevor next, but I didn't do anything except go hunting in my typical fashion.
which meant that I didn't get anything. It wasn't exciting. So, Trevor, what did you do this week with guns?
I took part in a version of what you would call hunting.
Oh, basically.
Yeah.
I thought I saw somebody else out there in the woods being unsuccessful.
Well, Friday was not bad. I got in an afternoon hunt, but saw nothing. Saturday was incredibly windy. It wasn't even worth leaving the house. Sunday was perfect. I was supposed to meet up with my father. That fell through. And it's too bad because Sunday was absolutely perfect, but I saw nothing. Where do pigeons fall on the whole? Varmint.
They're the albino crow, right?
No, the albino crow is the seagull.
Oh, that's the seagull.
Yeah, the magnum crow.
I believe pigeons are considered a pest, so if they're on your own property, I think they're fair game, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. Well, we could say the pigeon is the dwarf crow.
Sure, the dwarf crow.
Yeah, so I got me a dwarf crow.
Or little person crow, if you will.
No, because they're not people, they're birds.
A little bird. As opposed to big bird.
Anyway, yeah.
Now, if you shoot big bird in the face, you may have problems.
Yes, but the actor inside the suit is going to be irritated. So anyway, it was perfect, but unfortunately zero game. Other than that, I did a fair amount of work on different guns. Thank you to Thomas Donnelly. He had a fiber optic front sight for a Tanfoglio, so he sent that to me and I installed it on my stock 3, and then I set up an IPSC belt for that, all for nothing. We'll talk about why next week. There's a little bit of a something happening with that gun.
All right.
Then I wanted to get the rear sight off of my 570, my 590 rather, so I could put a rail on and mount an optic and see what that was like. It took some doing, but I got the rear sight off. Promptly put it back on. Same old story. Put the rail on. Put this optic on too high. When I get the Magpul stock with the adjustable cheek piece, maybe, but yeah, I kind of like it the way it is. So
it works well the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And then I sold.
But that being said, optic and a red dot probably would be faster.
Yeah, and I mean my.
So, and if you are going to be shooting open anyway, you might as well get the maximum advantage as you possibly can. So
exactly. You know how much I like my Glock 17 or my Glock 22 that I bought this spring.
Yeah, the one that. I know exactly how much you like it. Why don't you tell us how much?
Well, I like dishwashers more. I sold a gun to buy a dishwasher.
Which is funny because you sold a Glock, which can be cleaned in a dishwasher.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. But now there's more room in the dishwasher for dishes instead of Glocks.
Right.
The new house that we bought has a kind of smallish kitchen, you guys remember. And there was no built-in dishwasher, so I bought a portable dishwasher.
Oh. Yeah, the one that you take with you in the car, just plug it into the cigarette lighter and do your Tim Hortons cup.
Not quite that portable, but close enough. So yeah, sad day in the Furlot household. I decided to do the right thing, and rather than take on more debt, I sold the gun to pay for a dishwasher. It's sad.
Now, you do still have your Glock 17, right?
I will be buried with it or die with it in my hand.
Well,
I'm
then
not sure.
You're fine. That's the only Glock you need.
Yeah, it's in the Fort Knox gun safe next to my bed. That's
Fort Knox FT Kenoex.
You can't burn this. I can't believe we did that. Anyway,
took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. So let's see what else. Oh, the transfer on this gun, amazing. I sold it to a gentleman in Newfoundland,
Was it Greg?
No, it was another gentleman. There's two.
He won't sell me his guns.
That's right. Greg tried really, really hard to buy my Glock 21 SF a while back, but the same guy that buys all my guns, it went to him. So anyway, this transfer, get this, guys. I initiated this transfer on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. On Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, I had email confirmation that the transfer was complete, and I put the gun in the mail that day.
That's because there's only 6 people on Newfoundland, so it only takes them a little while to figure out who it is and approve them.
Regardless, the New Brunswick CFO had to have a hand in it as well. 24 hours.
I suppose.
24 hours and email confirmation to boot.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by that. And then the handguard, the Samson Evolution Series 15-inch handguard. It's the one that comes stock on the Stag 3G. That came in. and I installed that on my my STI AR, and I ordered a BCM charging handle for it. Now all that's left is to get a set of 45-degree iron sights, and I'd call this one done. I put my ACS stock on it off of my NEA, so I'm going to have to order another one. I see there's a website out there, not a very popular website, called Press Check Ventures. they've got some Magpul stuff on there, so I'm going to check them out and order one from those guys. And I hope I can save on shipping if I get to see some people sometime. We'll see.
Well, come visit then. You can visit our storefront.
Oh, can I? All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I could tell the road goes both ways, and it's not uphill when you come to the northern New Brunswick.
Sort of is.
Whatever.
It's uphill half the way.
Yeah. So that's me. That's what I did.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move into some upcoming events then. T-shirt orders. Get your T-shirt orders in.
We got another
Trevor,
one.
We got three now.
Yeah. Well, two people, three shirts.
Three people and two. Well, there you go. That's a start.
And one of the shirts is in stock. So really, we're two people, two shirts.
So basically, we need eight more people, minimum.
We need eight more shirts. One guy can order eight.
I suppose that's true.
Yes, it is.
Cool. All right.
Which is the same as saying I'm right, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Why not? Why can't I say that?
I just didn't think that's twice in 1 week.
I'm going to edit it out. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I understand. Carry on.
Next, charity shoot, Steve Lee. Oh, wait, how can you contact Trevor? How do we decide?
Hey, they're
just send an email to the show, right?
Email the show. Keep it all.
Yeah, email the show. Yeah. slamfireradio@gmail.com for those of you who don't know. Charity shoot, Rusty Goose Gun Club, June 28th, 2014. We'll be hosting, Slamfire Radio, and some guy in Australia who sings country songs.
Gun songs.
Yeah.
So I don't listen to country music.
I guess Steve Lee will be there.
Yeah.
So
I propose the same format as last time. You arrive, you register, we have a trap shoot, and then we have a silhouette shoot, and then we have, hey, let's try each other's guns and shoot zombies in the face, courtesy of Filthy. then there's a hint, Filthy. We need zombie targets. And then,
cool guns.
Yes. Well, he doesn't have any cool guns.
Zombie Ewoks.
Oh, my.
He's looking it up now.
Perfect. Toby, you're invited.
Well, you're going to have to let us bite you.
We'll finish off the afternoon with a kind of mini-match, IPSC-style mini-match. It's not sanctioned, so you don't have to have a black badge to participate. And after that, we'll have an acoustic concert back at Salsha's camp around the fire with Steve Lee.
Sounds like a great time.
Oh,
kind of like last time.
So the date is picked. Steve,
June 28th.
The location is picked.
Rusty Goose Gun Club.
And we need a charity. Chris
Steve Lee. Oh, no, wait. No.
Chris Kingston is has started a, not a charitable organization, but
something. Now explain what it is.
Thesaurus. It's it raises money and donates it to seniors' homes. The best way that I could describe that. So of course he's trying to. He said, "Well, guys, I got a charity for you. They've got to raise $1 million.
We could do that.
Yeah, we could, but we're
in about a million years.
Well, no, we could donate to that. We couldn't raise $1 million. But anyway, listeners, if you have a Canadian charity, preferably one that's gun friendly, or maybe or somehow gun related, that doesn't have to be. But you know, anyway, we're open to suggestions. Is what I'm trying to spit out.
That's a fantastic way of putting that. All right, so up next on the upcoming events, the Paratus Academy shooting course. It'll be 2 days. It's going to hopefully be, we're aiming for, I like that pun there, Trevor.
Thank you.
August 2nd and 3rd of 2014. Day one is the defensive handgun with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. And day two is an IPSC mini match featuring SummerSlam's biggest and bestest stages. So there's only five or six spots left, folks. So sign up.
Cost is probably $250-ish. It's not nailed down yet, but it'll be in that range. It's somewhere between $249 and $251, somewhere in there.
I'd say it's a safe estimate, yeah. And the reason why I put 5 or 6 spots, we did pick one up. But we have somebody who's on the fence. Owen, has she kind of committed yet? Or
no, but I will start working on that.
All right. What we need is more females to sign up.
Yes. Yes. If we had more females... And I should look into that because
I'm going to look into females too.
Both time, Matthew.
I know.
Hey,
a couple,
Jewel's not going to be too happy to hear that.
I have a couple guys locally whose wives might be interested. So
very good.
So I can tell you're sending them an email now. You should type a little bit softer there.
Who's pounding on the keyboard? Yeah.
That's Trevor.
No, it's not.
That was me. Sorry.
Your desktop mic is picking that up. It sounds like you're going across your keyboard with a jackhammer.
Sorry. Yeah, says the guy who couldn't stop coughing and sniffling last week. Okay, it's enough of that.
Carry on.
All right, well, I guess that brings us into the news. And this was sent by Rob HK. And Owen, do you want to read this?
Yeah. So we're doing news before we do...
I guess so. It's next in the thing.
I see.
Just sum it up. You know what it is, right?
No, I've never read it before.
Owen shows up 30 seconds before the show, Matthew. Come on.
Pretty much. What I got to do is I got to get the Slamfire email coming to my phone, and then I'd actually read this stuff before.
Or you would bow out of it like everything else that goes to your phone.
What?
Ooh, that's a burn.
This is why you don't follow me on Facebook anymore.
Oh, yeah, right.
You just need to know how to make the little red light on your phone come on instead of make it vibrate, beep, or whistle every time something comes up.
So, Rob HK sends this in. He says, he doesn't say this, the Globe and Mail says, mandatory minimum sentences for gun crimes ruled unconstitutional.
And this is in Canada.
I know. I read this article.
When did we get a constitution?
We have a constitution. It's just not nearly
just
as cool as the Americans.
Trudeau gave it to us.
Oh. Did they
put along with the Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Yeah. It's the best.
It could be worse.
I don't know. Anyway, they say a 3-year mandatory minimum sentence for gun possession is cruel and unusual punishment, air quotes. Ontario's top court ruled Tuesday in striking down a plank of Ontario's law and order agenda. The sentencing law, enacted as part of the Conservatives' 2008 omnibus bill, could see people sent to prison for 3 years for what would amount to a license violation. The Court of Appeal for Ontario ruled. In that scenario, there is a cavernous disconnect between the severity of such an offense and the severity of the sentence, the court ruled. The law, as written, could capture anyone from a person keeping an unloaded restricted gun with ammunition accessible in their cottage when their license requires it to be in their home, to a person standing on a street corner with a loaded gun in his back pocket, which he intends to use as he sees fits, the court said. No system of criminal justice that would resort to punishments that outrage standards of decency in the name of furthering the goals of deterrence and denunciation could ever hope to maintain the respect and support of its citizenry, the court ruled. Similarly, there no system of criminal justice that would make exposure to a draconian mandatory minimum penalty the cost an accused must pay to go to trial on the merits of that charge, of the charge, could pretend to have any fidelity to the search for the truth in the criminal justice system. The ruling has no significant impact on sentences for people engaged in criminal conduct or who pose a danger to others, saying that they should continue to receive sentences to emphasize deterrence and denunciation, the court said. The law had been previously struck down by an Ontario Superior Court judge in the case of Leroy Smickle. He was in his cousin's house in his boxers, posing for a Facebook picture.
Classy. Good name. Good name, Smickle.
With a loaded handgun, when police burst in with a search warrant for the cousin, who they believed had illegal firearms. Smickle was convicted of possession of a loaded prohibited firearm, but the judge ruled that it would be cruel and unusual to send the first-time offender to prison for a very foolish act for 3 years. Judge Anne Molloy, gave Smickle a 1-year conditional sentence. But the appeal court said that the sentence was totally inadequate. A sentence of about 2 years less a day would have been appropriate without a mandatory minimum sentence, the court ruled, so his lawyers will have to return to court to argue a sentence. Instead of Smickel, the court considered what is called a reasonable hypothetical. It raised the case of John Snobeline. I see what you guys did here. You gave me the article with all the hard names in it.
Just call everybody Smickel, and yep, we're good. You can even change my name to Smickel. From now on, I want to be Smickel.
A former Ontario cabinet minister who is charged after his wife told police during marital difficulties about a gun he bought in the U.S. and forgot to register. He received an absolute discharge because the Crown proceeded summarily. The three-year mandatory minimum is in place if the Crown proceeds by indictment, which is more serious. By making it a hybrid offense, Parliament acknowledged that conduct captured by the offense runs the gamut, the court said. The Crown argued that for less morally blameworthy situations, the Crown will simply proceed summarily. However, the court said since those decisions are made early on, there will inevitably be cases that mean the Crown would have made a different choice as more facts emerge. In Snobeline's case, if his wife had alleged Snobeline had used the presence of the gun to intimidate her, the Crown would have opted to proceed by indictment, the court wrote. In these circumstances...
I was going to let it go, but, you know, whatever.
Why does it have a C in it, then?
Because it's Canadian.
C.
C for Canada. Woo.
You were corrected by the guest.
Sorry about that. Indictment. Okay, I've never seen
indictment. It's on all the legal shows.
Yeah, well, I don't watch Law and Order, Trevor.
You should.
And they don't spell it out. I don't read the subtitle. In those circumstances, thank you, Greg. In those circumstances, the three-year penitentiary term would surely be a grossly disproportionate sentence, the court ruled. The appeal court heard six appeals together in February because each involved a constitutional challenge to a mandatory minimum sentence for various firearms offenses. Federal government lawyers had argued in support of the law, raising a spate of gun violence in 2005, which first prompted Ottawa to propose the stiffer penalties.
So basically, all of that to say that we no longer have a three-year minimum sentence for...
We never
in
had
Ontario.
Oh.
In Ontario.
This is an Ontario ruling on an Ontario law.
That's right.
As I understand it. Now, having said that, that does set some precedents. That's
it
right.
It does. Ontario is a pretty big province, and a lot of their stuff does set federal precedents.
I hope it gets
appealed to the Supreme Court of Canada.
That's right. Yeah. And then we'll get it across the board. It's a win, especially out of, I mean, the only other place where it would have more impact, well, I don't know if it would have more impact in Quebec, but it would be more politically, it would be a hotter political case in Quebec. But I think my personal opinion on mandatory sentences or mandatory minimums would be, you know, a repeat offender in this kind of crime or any other crime, you know. Okay, you've done it once. Well, if you do it again, then it's going to be a minimum the first time. Okay, we can use some judgment and whatnot. But if you're in court for the third time on possession of a legal handgun, let's say, it's time to, you know, step it up.
See,
for those kinds of people. But I like I like that they used the common sense where they compared the guy at the cottage to the guy on the street with a gun in his back pocket, right? You cannot treat the two the same. And it's rare that we hear that kind of common sense out of a court.
I just got two things to say.
Yeah, jump right in there, Dreg.
Dreg?
Sorry, I meant to say Greg, but, you know, whatever. It's close enough, Dreg. You'll be fine, Schmickel.
Well, like first of all, I was going to say, like Trevor mentioned, like mandatory minimum for your, say, second or third time in with the same offense for a gun crime, right? But I was just going to say, like, I don't even think that should be against the law in the first place. Like, there shouldn't be such a thing as a prohibited firearm in the first place. And
sure,
you shouldn't need
I'm with
a license
you on that.
In the first place. But assuming he was a drug dealer, that's the crime, not the gun possession. Right.
Well, see, that's what we find in Canada is we have all these extra laws, and all they're there for is to make the
the justice, and it's not justice, the legal system's job easier. So if we can't get you for this one, we'll get you for that one instead. And gun crime seemed to be the catch-all. Doesn't matter what you did. If you own guns, you're done.
Yes. And then the other thing I was just going to say is, like, what really grinds my gears, I don't know if you've been looking at Sun News lately, but
okay, Brian,
but Brian, yeah, Brian Lilly was comparing this case and the, you know, knocking down of the mandatory minimums. He was comparing this guy to a pedophile, and I have no illusions that this guy was probably a drug dealing scumbag, but to compare him to a pedophile, right? And
insist that a mandatory minimum was required to, in this instance, right?
It's just ridiculous. I wrote him personally, and I said, "This is a win for gun rights."
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, I would much rather see the law set up in such a way that every now and then a guilty person goes free, rather than every now and then an innocent person gets punished.
Yes.
Right? So, yes.
And the way the law was written, it leaves us open, you and me. And
that's right.
You know?
So it may make it a little bit harder for the Crown to prosecute scumbags, but that's their job to begin with, and I don't want to make their job any easier when it comes to prosecuting people who don't need to be prosecuted like us.
And I think that's where the law and order politicians and pundits like
Brian Lilly
can get so confused. They're so eager to slam criminals that they're all for these sweeping laws that can really
mess with law-abiding
gun owners, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You just make a simple mistake, you know?
You know, forget to put your trigger lock on before you head home. You know, with the, something simple like that, something dumb that you had absolutely no intention of hurting anybody. You had no intention of breaking the law. It was just slipped your mind to put the stupid trigger lock on before you locked your gun in a case, you know, and then you get stopped and searched and, oh, you don't have a trigger lock on. Well, there's 3 years for you, buddy.
Well, yes. I mean, like, all of us here are really into firearms, so we know the laws. But there are
not
people,
everybody does.
No, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there are people who remember life before Bill C-68.
That's right.
And maybe they didn't keep up on the politics and the laws in the last 20 years, and they have their handgun in their
cabin
for some reason. They shouldn't. Right? They shouldn't, according to the law.
Yeah,
but
yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's on them to know the law, but at the same time, that's not worth 3 years in jail.
Right.
Yeah,
a handgun in a cabin is not the same thing as a handgun in the dash of a car full of gangbangers in Etobicoke.
That's right.
Exactly.
Very good. I like those comments, Greg. Very good. Or Schmickle, if you will.
Schmickle.
Yeah. Or Dredge. I mean, I could call you Dredge again.
Maybe you can edit this out, but I got a little rant about the Conservative Party, but it's gun related.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, they had their convention there not too long ago, right? And they voted down a resolution to repeal the Firearms Act and get rid of the prohibited class altogether.
Yeah, they lost it only by a few votes, from what I understand. It was very close.
And there was a lot of manipulation behind the scenes, from what I've read.
Yeah.
So I think the party wants this issue to go away. They think they've done what they need to do for us, and they're just like, shut up now, kind of thing.
Well, yeah. I think, Greg, that they're waiting for the next election to dangle another carrot in front of us.
Yeah.
Right?
But, I mean, we can't wait, right?
No, we can't, but they can. They're going to
keep this
politics, right?
Yeah, yeah. They played a long game here.
Yeah,
now
that's right.
Now that I'm kind of on this soapbox, like, I've been speaking with another guest you've had on the show.
You keep this up, you're going to need your own show.
Yeah, he might not want
to
be mentioned.
That's what happened to Owen.
Yeah, he might not want to be mentioned by name, but we've been having a chat, and I think everybody should be joining the Libertarian Party and sending your receipt for your membership to the Conservative Party with a little note saying, you screwed us over at that convention. And now the Libertarian Party is getting my money.
Well, couldn't I pull a Krusty the Clown and campaign for one and vote for the other?
Certainly. You absolutely
could. For sure,
could.
But they shouldn't get another dollar of your money.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've never said that the Conservatives were our friends.
No.
We've only said that they were our least enemy, basically.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that I mean, they did some good stuff for us. They got rid of the long gun registry, which is fantastic. I mean, that was an absolute win for us. They did a great job doing it. They lived up to that part of their promise. Right now, though, gun control is just it's too much of a touchy subject across the world that they're not gonna touch it because they know that they'll get. I mean, the sad fact is there are more people out there who are scared of guns than people who actually understand guns for what they actually are. And if I think right now, if the conservatives came out and said we're gonna repeal the Firearms Act in its entirety, they would not win the next election. It's sad. I wish they would. I wish they could do that and still win. But I don't think they could. There are too many left-wing people out there who just simply are scared of guns, don't understand what they are, how they work, and what, you're getting rid of the gun laws? Well, that's it. I'm going back to the liberals. And besides, Justin Trudeau, he's, you know, a shiny pony and looks great and and smokes dope. Wait.
He's almost Rob Ford.
Except he gets praised for it instead of criticized. Yeah. But that's because he's a liberal and not a conservative like Rob Ford.
There you go. Very good.
Yeah, I think that's enough politics for one show. I mean, it's good that we do go off on politics every now and then. Our listeners do need to understand that there is a political system in Canada that is definitely broken. And we do need to, you know, stay on top of things and stay on top of our parties and the people who we elect and keep communicating with them. Let them know that.
Yeah, be vocal about it because
that's right.
We just sit quietly.
Yeah.
You know, nothing will happen. They won't know what our feelings are. the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
For sure.
And if you don't vote, don't bitch.
That's right. But yeah, no, the Libertarian Party, I really wish that it could get some traction and gain some ground because that really is what Canada should be. Small government. You know, Libertarian isn't no government. It's not all about anarchy and chaos. It's just simply small government. Let's get rid of this bloated, oversized whale.
Guns.
Trevor. Tell us what you do with guns this week, Trevor. Oh, wait, we're past that.
I think it's all related, though, you know? Like, it's a good discussion.
It is related.
But
yeah. So, anyway, let's go back to guns because Trevor's starting to drool on his keyboard again.
You got it.
So, Greg, or Schmickel, the reason you're here, you recently acquired a pretty cool gun for Canada. What'd you get?
A Type 97.
Nice. Ooh. So, not all of our listeners know what all the guns are and what names mean what. So, go ahead and describe what the Type 97 is.
So, the Type 97.
And here's the challenge. Do it without saying the word ugly.
You're out. Impossible.
Well, just because it looks like it was lit on fire and put up with a chain doesn't mean it's hard looking. But yeah, no, give us your review and we'll beat back and forth what we've heard about it, read about it, whatever, and compare notes.
Yeah, again, first of all, though, tell us what it is.
Yeah, Type 97 is a Chinese bullpup action rifle. Shoots
okay, stop right there. That's what's enough. What's a bullpup action rifle?
Isn't that one of those dogs, like a bulldog? It's in like a cross with a bulldog.
Oh, it's a pit bull and a boxer.
And wait, aren't bullpups illegal in Canada?
No, they're not.
We're going to have to get into that discussion too, but continue on with what is a bullpup?
No, we're not.
A bullpup. Yeah, we are. We got all kinds of time.
I guess the basic definition would be the actions behind the trigger. Yeah, so the ejection port's kind of right beside your cheek, a little forward of your cheek.
And, but on the other side, right? Not
depending on how you're shooting it. It actually ejects the brass, I guess, to the 2 o'clock position. So
you can
shoot it
lefty
or righty. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I wouldn't prefer it because then one thing I did notice about it is you're breathing in the gases from the chamber. It smells
good. The smell of cordite in the morning.
Yeah, it smells really good, but I wouldn't want to do it all day. But yeah, I really like the gun. I don't think it's ugly either.
So the caliber is
223, and it takes AR mags.
Oh,
is
very
it,
cool.
Is it a stamp 223 or stamp 556?
It's stamped 556 actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
For some people, it makes a difference.
Yeah. So it's got an 18.5-inch barrel. It's non-restricted, and you can
hunt coyote. Whoa. Say that again. It's what now?
It's got an 18.5-inch barrel. It's non-restricted, and you can hunt coyote with it.
Non-restricted.
It's a bullpup.
Awesome. So it's a black
bullpup.
Plastic.
Semi-auto.
Bullpup.
Yeah.
Say something. I'm going to say semi-auto next.
Pistol grip.
Semi-auto.
We pistol did semi, grip. We did semi-auto. We did pistol grip with the shoulder thingy that goes up.
Has a flash hider.
Wait, doesn't that mean it's quiet and snipers can't find you and you can shoot?
You have it locked up right now, right?
Innocent babies with it?
I actually laid it on my chair next to me and now it's not there. I don't know where it went.
I've lost it. I've lost my rifle. It took off on its own.
Yeah.
So now that we know that it what it is, tell us your... Now, I understand, Greg, that you've had several Norinco firearms. Can you maybe tell us which ones you've had and how this particular Norinco compares to those?
Okay.
And the reason I bring that up is because Norinco has a reputation of being somewhat lesser quality.
Like Ford.
What some people, or what all the listeners should understand, or those who don't understand, is that Norinco not only makes firearms, but they distribute firearms under their name. And in some cases, those firearms are not actually produced by them. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and tell us what Norincos you've had and how this compares.
Yeah, I've had a Norinco 1911 AR-15.
Are you sure it was a 1911? Trevor, did you want to bicker with him about that to see, was it actually a 1911 or perhaps sort of derivative that you can somehow...
I thought I would just let him continue, actually.
Oh, you don't think it's a real 1911?
No, I just... Never mind. Just carry on. You've had a Norinco 1911, yes.
HP 9 shotgun. M14. And AR-15,
and then this.
Okay, so you've run the gamut. Well, not the complete gamut, but you've had quite a few Norincos then.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm a bit of a Norinco fanboy. I know that'll turn you guys off, maybe, but.
Oh yeah, I've owned Norincos before. Hey,
I have no problems with Norincos.
No, it's weird because they get slagged a lot, but I've never really had an issue with any of them.
It's because they're cheap and they work, so people get irritated with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say you've had the ones that have the best reputation.
Yeah.
Ryan from SFRC told me that he has more Remingtons come in for warranty service than he does Norincos.
Yeah. Well, I think the big mix-up was that 780 Homeland defense shotgun.
Trevor, remember that?
That killed him, right?
Yeah, it almost blinded McIntyre, whatever.
But, I mean, the HP9 was a totally different gun as far as I'm concerned. I never had an issue with that thing.
Yeah,
I had an HP9 as well, and it was actually a really good gun.
It was a legit 870 clone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean... I like them, and this one I will say is a step up. I mean,
from what I've read,
it's made in a different factory. Like Norinco has a dozen factories. I think this firearm comes from one of the actual suppliers for their military, from what I've heard, or it's a step up above kind of the high school kids making them in shop class like the M14.
Now, what does the have any of us read the article in Calibers magazine? I started it. I meant to finish it before the thing tonight, but they have a whole section on page 16 about this rifle versus the 97A, and they also talk a lot about the QBZ95-95-1 and compare them to those, because the actual Chinese military one is the QBZ95-1, which looks just like the Type 97, slightly. You have to look really close to see the differences.
And I did actually read the article. It's just been a while since I read it. I don't remember any of the comparisons there. Is the Chinese the rifle that their military has issued? It's not actually chambered in 5.56, is it?
I don't believe so. It's a indigenous Chinese round. It's not 7.62 by 39 either. It's a unique round from what I've read.
That's what I thought. I know I'm not 100% sure on that, but yeah, that's what I thought too. And of course, yeah, because it uses a rock and lock magazine, not an AR style mag, a slide in, slide and click, I guess. I don't know how you'd call it, but yeah, because yeah, they have a shorter magwell. These ones have quite a bit longer magwell than the Norinco, or sorry, the Chinese military's version. And of course, theirs has the fun switch too, which is always great.
I'd imagine the fun switch is in a really awkward place too.
Probably. Just like the safety. Yeah, tell us about the safety's location.
The safety's, if you're shooting righty, the safety's right below your cheek, basically.
Oh, so that's, you have to looking, actually reach back and...
Yeah, it's behind the magwell if you're looking at the gun kind of with the barrel pointed to the left. If you're looking at a picture of it, you can see this kind of circular dial, and it's in a really bad spot. But I think it's just kind of, it's just the way they designed it, because above the trigger area, I don't think there's much room to put something like a safety, because you have the action basically working directly over the trigger area. So I don't see how they'd engineer a safety in that area.
Right.
It seems like maybe they just kind of built the gun and then they said, oh,
like,
crap,
oh, we crap, forgot we a safety. Need a safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the I was watching one YouTube video, and one of the Glockser 42, he's a Canadian YouTuber, and he did about a 32 minute video review of it, and one of his concerns was that the surfaces of the firearm, both the forend and the grip, are quite slick and slippery. What do you think?
I think they would be if it was wet or greasy. But like
sweaty just palms.
But I, you know, I find it serviceable for what I'm doing, and I don't think it would be too unmanageable if it was wet, though. I will say one thing: it looks chintzy in the pictures. Like,
I didn't like the
way the build quality looked in the pictures, but when you hold it, it feels so much different than it looks in a picture. Sort of hard to describe. It doesn't feel as cheap as it looks in a picture.
Well, that's good anyway.
Yeah. It's actually pretty solid. Like,
the Norinco AR that you had was what barrel length?
Believe 14 inches.
Okay. So weight-wise, how does this compare to that gun? It's quite a bit heavier, about the same. What are they, about 8 pounds?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now, but I'd say it feels about the same. It's really weird because all the weight is towards the rear of the gun,
right?
So that's where your action is, right?
That's why it makes it feel a lot lighter.
Yeah, when you have the gun up to your shoulder, it feels very light. There's almost no front end weight to it.
That's what I find with my Caltech KSG.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel heavy but because it has all the weight towards the back.
Yeah, so it points really easy. You can go from target to target very quick. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And so far you've been running it with LAR mags mostly?
Yeah, LAR mags. The magazine that comes with it is this really crappy Chinese one. It's not very good. Obviously, it would come with a Chinese mag, but...
What have you tested different ammo in it, one particular ammo? Roughly how many rounds would you say you got through it so far?
To be honest, probably 60.
Okay. It's still fresh and green.
Yeah, and all I have are like homebrew loads, so I put some 40 grainers through it because that's my coyote load.
Yeah.
Then I put some 55 grain full metal jackets that I made myself through, and no malfunctions at all.
What about accuracy? Did you do any group shooting with it?
I didn't get the chance, actually. It was getting dark last time I was out, but I was hitting the 200-yard gun with the iron sights easily.
Oh, nice. Yeah. See, that's what I like about this rifle, is that it's got... Or sorry, that's what I don't like about this rifle, is that if you put any sort of optic on it, you kind of lose your irons. And if you do set it up in such a way that you still have your irons, you've got a really high chin weld for your optic, and then your irons are like a cheek weld underneath. So it's kind of, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the same company that makes the black feather stock for the M14 is now making a new upper for this gun that gives you a left side charging handle, either reciprocating or not, and it you get rid of the carry handle altogether and gives you a flat top aluminum with Picatinny rails machined into it. Have you guys seen that yet?
I haven't seen it yet. No, but I've heard about it.
It's
P97.ca.
That's correct. Yeah, it's $300 bucks, but
it's so, a quality piece.
That's a lot.
It seems, but if you buy that
machined, right?
Yeah, and the I'd say the black feather is kind of proven by now. I've not read anything negative about it on CGN. You buy the Type 97, you're out the door for just over $1,000 and change for tax and shipping, let's say. You throw another $300 in tax and shipping to put this flat top on, and then you can go with an optic and backup pop-up sights, and you're still coming in way under the Tavor. If you have to have a bullpup and you don't like that carry handle, this is
the option.
You certainly don't have any more into it than I would have into my AR.
Yeah. And you're getting a non-restricted. Now, overall, what's the length of it, Greg?
Well, that's a good question. Well, it's a break out the measuring tape.
It's a bullpup, right? So it's got to be compact, even with the 18-inch barrel. So, soft case, in the trunk. Great trunk gun for New Brunswick if it's got decent accuracy.
30 inches.
30 inches, there you go.
That's what I was going to say that too, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I really like it, and I'm actually looking at one of those flat top pieces. It's solid aluminum.
So if you put if you put that on, does that get rid of your rear sight then, and then you have to put some sort of pop up on there? Now, if you put a regular pop up on, will it coincide with your front sight that's already there on
your
the gun?
Your front sight's gone.
Oh, the front sight will be gone too.
Yeah. You gotta Google a picture of that, or just go to type97.ca.
All right.
And it completely changes the look of the gun, and it actually unuglies it.
Looks like a FAMAS or whatever.
Yeah, either or works. Type97.ca doesn't work.
I just
T97.
T97.ca.
All right, I'll give that. There we go. Oh, that does look interesting. Doesn't that? That's gotta weigh a lot.
No, it's pretty light. It's aluminum.
It's all machined.
Yeah.
It's chopped right up.
It's got holes in it, so it's way faster, less drag.
That's true.
High speed, low drag.
Yeah.
Interesting. From what I can tell, that mod wouldn't really affect the reliability of this gun, and that's kind of the main thing I go for now is reliability. It doesn't affect the action at all, so it wouldn't change.
It's heavy. If it doesn't work, you can always hit him with it.
That's true.
I really like that. I was just looking at that. That is pretty sweet.
Now it looks like a gun, right? Yeah. Not an abortion.
Yeah. They're just showing it all machined out. I'm assuming they're going to blow it or...
Yeah. Well, it's aluminum, so they'll anodize it.
Yeah. When the Black Feather came out, same thing. All the prototype photos were just straight up machined aluminum. 1913 aluminum. I know.
I wish they'd anodize it gold.
60-61.
Gold, that'd be awesome. You could probably get them to anodize any color you want.
Well, it depends on what they're set up for, but you could always order a blank one, and you take it somewhere and get it anodized.
No, it's true, too.
Yeah. The they have a pretty short sight radius.
You'd probably want to put a red dot. If you're going to get this top thing, I wouldn't put sights on it. It would be a red dot and then or a low magnification scope. A nice 2-7 would actually fit on there real nice. That way you can use it nice and close on 2 power or stretch it out to 7 for like longer range coyote shots and stuff.
Somebody should tell them they have their front flip up sight backwards.
I think they did that on purpose just to get that extra half an inch sight radius.
They might have. Hey, Trevor, you might really? Be right.
It's not the first one I've seen on backwards, and that was the explanation given.
Yeah. Because the post doesn't matter if it's frontwards or backwards as long as you can see the post. So.
Just a post,
Realistically, though, like I was reading an article about optics, and they're saying like if you get, say, a quality Trigicon or Aimpoint,
I mean,
they're so reliable that you almost don't need to worry about having backup iron sights.
Yeah.
From the article I was reading, I don't know whether
I've read similar articles, and I think the only way I'd be able to go ahead with an optic like that is if it had a fiber optic backup for the battery.
Yeah.
The ACOG does. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, some of them do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now, see, I want more people to talk about what kind of groups they're getting with what kind of ammo. Because if it's non-restricted, we're going to want to hunt with it. We're going to want to, get decent shots out to 200 probably on coyotes. I don't think I would try a coyote farther than that with this kind of rifle. But
well, it depends on what kind of accuracy you get with it. You might be able to. I mean, as long as you can hit, 3 inches? And if you're getting one MOA, you're not going to get one MOA with this rifle.
No, that's where I'm going.
You're right.
In Glockster 42's video with the iron sights off of the bench, he was getting between 4 and 5 inches.
But that's iron sight, so
yeah. And he also blamed a lot of that on the trigger. It's a 2-stage trigger, and once you get to the point where you start getting into the take up, then it's a creepy 2-stage trigger. And so that, and I'm sure in time somebody's going to come up with some fixes for the trigger. But Greg, what's your experience been with the trigger? How compare it to, let's say, your AR?
Yeah, I mean, triggers are always a weak point on bullpups, right?
Yeah, because there's so much linkage, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just playing with it here now. There's like a 3/8 of an inch of take-up, and it is kind of creepy. It's a striker-fired gun, actually. Did you know that?
No, that's neat.
That's, again, I haven't had this part yet, because, I work up in Alberta, but... from what I've read, it's a striker-fired gun. It feels like it, too. Because when you pull the trigger, there's quite a substantial mass that's moving in there. You probably heard that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I actually like the trigger. I'm not super picky on triggers to begin with, to be honest. But I can keep my
iron sights
right on my target, my point of aim, all throughout the trigger pull. Like, it's not grimy, it's not catching on things, it's just like it
feels a little spongy,
but it's not interfering with your pull.
Yep.
It's kind of hard to articulate, but I like
not it. I would call that gritty when it sort of starts and stops a whole bunch of times as you're pulling it that make your sights wobble.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's like you're pulling up on a elastic band, and then it just lets go. Like,
yeah. Well, and some triggers stack too. They start off at 8 pounds, and by the time they break, they've worked their way up to 10 or 11 pounds.
Yeah.
So, is it say once you get into the take up, does it get heavier as you get to the breaking point?
No.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's a nice trigger.
Well.
For what it is, right? It's not a competition trigger or anything, but...
Well, it's not a competition gun either, so you have to, you have to take the good with the bad. Yeah. You're going to get a compact, non-restricted black rifle. It's not going to have the best trigger, but, at least this one's not $2,700. And yeah. I'm sure the trigger is not that much more horrific than the trigger in a Tavor, because the trigger in a Tavor is not fantastic either, but people are working with them, and they are getting better.
Yeah.
Me like it.
yeah, I've liked everything I've heard so far.
The other thing that we should probably talk about is the mag release.
Yep, that was my very next question.
It's in such a crappy spot.
It's too bad. Now that's one thing for the Tavor. It's great. You just bump it with the back of your hand real quick, and it just drops.
Yeah, this one you have to reach around to the right side of the gun with your left hand and press a tiny little button that actually takes a little bit more force than my Norinco AR did to push that button in. It has the same kind of design as an AR mag release.
So I don't know why they didn't make this an Ambi mag release, but I've seen some people jerry-rigging them with a little lever that you can weld onto this mag release. And then it'll make it an Ambi. And it's not very hard to do. But I'm going to end up going that route.
The problem with this gun being or not being available in the U.S. is we're not going to see a flood of aftermarket parts coming for it like the guns that are available down there, because obviously the market is so much bigger. So we're lucky right off the bat that somebody's making a flat top upper for it, but trigger kits and ambi mag releases may be a long ways off.
They've mentioned on CGN that they're working on a number of parts. I'm hoping that's one of them.
Which manufacturer did it mention? Like a couple of different ones, or?
Oh no, the guy is behind the T97.ca.
Same guys, right on.
Yeah, same guys. So I think they're really excited by the by this gun. So I'm hoping that's one of the things on their list. It would be easy for them, for sure.
Well, I have to tell you, if it was between this and a SU-16, it would be this hands down.
Yeah, I think SU-16. I don't have a lot of faith in Kel-Tec myself. Not as much as I do in Norinco. Norinco's never really let me down. But I've heard some horror stories about Kel-Tec. So.
A lot less plastic on a Norinco.
Yeah.
So, rear sights, I understand, have three different size apertures?
Yes. I have no idea what they mean, so don't even ask.
Well, are they all, are they in the same location but different sizes? Oh, okay, because if there were different locations, if one was higher than the other, then it would be an elevation thing.
Oh, I see what you mean now. Yeah, I think they are in different locations, but it would be such a small difference that I can't really tell, to be honest.
Might be something in the instructions there. If you're like me, you probably didn't read them.
Nope. Where do they?
All right, so can you tell us a little bit about how it comes apart?
I cannot.
Oh, you haven't had it apart yet?
No, sir.
Oh. All right. That's too bad. I kind of wanted to know how it come apart. Could you take it apart for us right now? Yeah, I don't know why he called me sir, but that's okay. We're going to run with it.
Sir McClatchy.
Sir McClatchy. I like it.
Two words never to be seen or read.
Hey, at the school they call me that all the time. They don't know who I am though, but
they're three.
They're three, yeah. Well, grade three, but close grade enough. Three. Just a quick note, the ammo source, so SFRC is selling T-97s right now for $999. It includes a see-through scope rail and an extra 5-round magazine, or a 30-round magazine pinned to 5.
Nice.
$1,000. So, anybody interested in getting one, there's your chance right there. It's 15% off. That's pretty good deal. Yeah. I'd get one if I had an extra $1,000 laying around that I didn't have assigned to something else. But
what was that, Greg?
I said, get one, Trevor.
Not your dishwasher. Buy a T-97.
I don't know, boys. I mean, I had an XCR with a folding stock,
and I sold it
for the coyote hunting that I'm going to do. I can use my Thompson Center for the plinking that I do it at a range. I might as well use my AR. I honestly don't know how much it's going to get used now. When we went hunting last year, yeah, I took my XCR, but
Okay, here's another question for you there, Greg. You've had it out shooting.
Yep.
Just out to the range so far, or have you had it out like hunting or crown land or whatever?
I'm going out on Saturday with it.
Okay, so when you have shot it so far, it's just been at the range?
Yeah.
So you had your earplugs in then. I was just wondering, as a hunting rifle, because you don't generally put in earplugs before you fire a shot, as a hunting rifle, I wonder how loud it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you certainly don't want something that's going to ring your bell. I mean, if you're out, even if you only fire one shot, and if you have to have earplugs in even for that one shot, as a non-restricted hunting rifle, it's still not all that useful to you if you're going to go deaf after, three or four trips. So.
This is true. It's definitely something to consider, but I mean, if you're cool, you don't care about your hearing.
What's that? So why don't you take it out, not right now, but when you go out and fire a couple shots without your earplugs in and report back. Let us know how loud it is. I'd like to know. Because if it's not terribly loud, I'm eyeing this sucker right here, man. It's It's not a bad looking rifle. I think I would just leave it in its original configuration. No rail, no scope. I'd just run irons like I run all my other guns.
But would 2 inches of arrow make a big difference for...
I don't know. I don't think so. And I imagine the flash hider is going to quiet things down too a little bit.
Yeah. I've fired my 20-inch Savage Precision Carbine without hearing protection. It kind of sounds similar, like.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my Axis has a 20-inch barrel, so it's it's not. And those of you, everybody out there is yelling at me. No, it doesn't. It's a 22-inch barrel. I've got the youth model, so no, it has a 20-inch barrel.
They wouldn't sell you the big boy version.
No, I'm not big enough. Okay. I got little 22 arms. They're like, no, you need the youth model. No, actually, funny story. I've always I have an affinity for shorter rifles. I don't like a long barreled gun. Anything. All of my shotguns, like, they're all shorter barrels. All of my rifles have shorter than normal barrels. It's just I like the idea of being able to run through the bush without getting hung up on stuff. So.
There's a joke there somewhere.
There certainly is, but I like to joke I'm not compensating for anything. So I don't need a big gun. That's all I'm going to go
with. That's what she said.
Yeah, that's as far as I'm going with that. Anyhow, so when I ordered my my Axis, they only come with 22-inch barrels. I'm like, oh, I really want a 20-inch barrel. I mean, that'd be perfect. And the youth model, I'm like, no problem. I'll get the youth model. Just simply order an adult stock and swap it out. So because they come with a coupon, the youth models come with like a 15 or 20% coupon to purchase a full size stock. But when I got it, it turns out it's only 3/4 of an inch difference in the length of pull, and it actually fit me perfectly. So I just left with the youth stock on.
Sweet.
So, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, 20-inch barrel, and that's 2-3, and that's not terribly loud. I can shoot that without earplugs whenever I'm hunting. I mean, you know, you're not taking it to the range and shooting off 100 rounds with it, but one or two shots while you're out in the woods is... It's not harm. Well, yes, it's harmful cumulatively, of course, but it's not painful. So no. If this is not painful when you shoot it, I mean, it would be a good, you know, if nothing else, just a running around out in the woods gun, you know, and if you happen to see a groundhog or something, you can shoot it. Or even if you just want to go to the gravel pit and plink, you know, as a non-restricted rifle, it's, I don't know, it's awfully tempting.
Get one, man.
I'm thinking about it.
You'll like it.
My finger's hovering over the add to cart button right now. But
I'm walking through my house with it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, slings. Where do you put slings on it?
Holy. There's a small spot in the back on the stock.
For a single point?
There might be something up front too, but for sure in the back for a single point. I've seen pictures of them with single points, but never with 2 point.
Where is it a hook? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, just price-wise, you were talking about the deal that SFRC has.
Yeah.
They're $1069.99 at Wolverine or at Wanstall, so that is a smoking deal over at SFRC.
Yeah. Yeah, $1,000. And it, like I said, it comes with a scope rail and an extra mag. I need all the mags I can get, huh?
Yeah. You don't know any connections or anything.
No. But
you're at SFRC, you get the 10-pack of DH mags.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 30 rounders.
Pin to 5?
Well, yeah.
Or you could just have 5-round Beowulf mags made by Press Adventures.
Now, did they make the Type 97 and 50 Beowulf?
That'd be cool. That would be a really cool rifle.
I've actually heard, now Greg, maybe you can tell us, I've heard that the Type 97 does not like polymer mags, that even P mags don't run in Type 97. The magwell is quite tight.
I've read that as well, and I've heard tell of people taking a file to their magwell.
Okay.
I've done that before. Owen. Actually, Owen did that for me.
Owen, the Glockster 42 video, in his video, he tested several different mags, and he talks about mag reliability, so it might be worth checking out to answer that question.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We've got an email here that we want to get into, and then of course the show wrap up. We got about 14 minutes left, but anybody have last questions or final thoughts on the T97 before we move on?
I'm still on the fence.
I'm like jumping down on the other side of the fence right now. I'm hovering. I'm right there.
I would totally buy one if I had the money, and that's really the only thing for me is. I don't have $1,000 to spend on it. Otherwise, I'd buy one, if nothing else, you know, for my wife, because it's you know, she has issues with longer firearms and firearms where the weight is out on the end. I think that's pretty typical of a lot of women because they don't have the upper body strength.
Yeah.
Something shorter, more compact, where the weight's on the back, she could handle it because she, I mean, she's strong. She just, you know.
I guess it, so. For me, I would only buy it because the aftermarket rail is going to be available. It makes it a flat top. I would not buy it if that was not on the market. And then I need to know how it's stacking up accuracy-wise.
Yeah. But to, okay, I'll just say that when I went, I was eyeing this on CGN and on the, all the gun stores online, and I really liked it, but I wasn't sure whether or not to buy it. But when I went into my local gun store and they had one under the glass, I asked to hold it,
and I was like,
yeah, like I'm buying this. It just holding it made the difference, and I think like yeah. if you're on the fence, you're probably gonna like it when you get your hands on it.
Yeah,
interesting.
I agree.
Like cool. it feels right, even though it looks ugly. It feels good. It really
feels
does.
Good in the hand, huh?
Exactly.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I mean, I had one ordered, canceled it, and bought another AR.
Yeah.
So
funny. Yeah. All right. Well, listener feedback then. So first of all, Greg, thanks for joining us. That was awesome. Stick around, of course. We'll be done here shortly, so you might as well. I mean,
yep.
You've already gotten this dumb being on the show with us for this long. You might as well stick her out to the end. But we have one email. This one comes to us from Spencer, also known as The Whale. He writes, "Hey, guys, it pains me to say it, but Trevor nailed it. Ruger 10/22 for the win during a zombie apocalypse. And in Owen's suppressor and use the real Ruger BX25 magazines for reliability. They run as well as the 10-rounders. And you have a zombie slaying machine." Oh, he said add-in. That makes way more sense now.
Just for the record, I don't own a suppressor.
No.
So
Owen just wanted a suppressor.
You cannot stop. You can stop, you know, circling around my house with a black helicopter. Yeah, so yeah. I do not have a suppressor.
But no, you suggested a 10/22 with a suppressor would be about perfect, and yep. and that's what Spencer's saying here too. Yeah, no, a 10/22 suppressed with 25 round mags. I mean, that'd be fantastic. He continues on. They just had a zombie convention here in Atlanta last weekend, all centered around The Walking Dead. When they shot the first season here, it was pretty common to see zombies wandering around the streets of downtown. It's a good thing they didn't wander around my downtown, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
There'd have been blood.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. Now, you finish this, I'll tell you a funny story about zombies.
Okay. Now that all the filming is all down in South Georgia, you don't see that anymore. It was actually kind of cool to have them back, even if it was just for the weekend. Also, I finally got my AR suppressor. Range report in the next email, but let's just say I've started the paperwork on two more. You lucky devil. Oh, and Matt, I'll be sure to ask people to like your wife's library on Facebook. It's nice of you guys to help her out like that. And that comes to us from the little goldfish down in Smyrna. Because,
You ain't the whale no more.
But yeah, no, that comes to us from Spencer. And thanks, Spencer, for that feedback. Yeah. Yeah, 10/22 suppressed would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we just have a quick audio submission from Jason Philp. Is that correct, Trevor?
Close enough. I think it's Philp A.
Philp A.
Philps.
Philps. Philpy Philp. I don't know.
Canadian Claybuster.
We should make fun of him some more because that's what we do to our listeners.
Well, it's only because he likes the guns that we don't.
So let's have a listen to that. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Jason Philp from Calgary, Alberta. Just wanted to let you know that it is hunting season out here, and we're happy to be out after pheasants. And it was fantastic shooting today, walking around with guns, as Matt calls it. The only difference is we saw pheasants, three of us, two dogs, a German short-haired pointer and a black lab, one flusher, one pointer, six birds in the air, six birds in the basket. What a wonderful way to end a Friday. Hope you guys have a very good day. Enjoy your weekend. Shoot safe, shoot straight, shoot often.
And we're back. So yeah, thanks again for sending that in. It's always great to hear from our listeners. So yeah, anybody wants to send in an audio submission, feel free. We love getting them.
Just make sure that you're driving a big truck on an Alaskan or on an Albertan highway while doing it. You can hear the road, the tire chatter on it. It must be big truck. Big Alberta truck.
Cool. So I guess, Trevor, you're going to let us know what the iTunes review is this week. Apparently, we have five-star reviews on the U.S. feed, too. I never even went over to check those out. Trevor, being the media social lady of the night that he is.
This I have to thank Bolivar for this.
That's too bad.
He and Paul Lathrop were talking, and I think Paul mentioned to Bolivar that he had left us one, and then Brian explained this whole U.S. feed thing. So there are 11 five-star reviews on the iTunes U.S. feed, and they're all pretty awesome.
So we're going to go through them in the next 11 weeks, basically, is what's going to happen, unless the Canadians step up and send us some more good ones on the Canadian feed.
I'll read one, but I will say this. They all have a common theme, and apparently it's that I talk too much or take too long. I don't know. I'm not kidding. Almost all 11 of these say that Trevor talks too much. So
it goes up to 11.
The first one is from Galahad 187, and that was left back in May, so that's how long they've been there. I listened to the CRR show and enjoyed it. This show is similar, but with less boring bits and more Trevor bits.
Oh, that was one and the same.
I want to start a petition to make these guys official U.S. citizens. Pretty awesome.
Does that mean we can carry?
Does that mean we need to sign up for Obamacare?
Yes, no, maybe.
Well, maybe I'm in then, if the yes and no are in the correct order.
You got time for another short one?
Well, we missed out on Owen's zombie story.
Oh, yes, that's right. Funny thing about zombies. Go.
It's probably not funny
squirrel.
Now, but
it's too late.
There was a friend of mine. She gets up early in the morning. She goes to work early. So she's outside, you know, letting her dog take a pee in the lawn or whatever. And she lives kind of in this quiet residential neighborhood. And down the road comes this guy. And he's kind of like the town drunk. But he's walking, dragging one foot, kind of walking with a, you know, kind of weaving back and forth while dragging one foot slightly.
And she stands off the curb that day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and she's standing there, you know, her dog's taking a leak, and she watched this person kind of stumble by, and he's kind of, you know, ragged, and she goes, "This is how the zombie apocalypse starts." Just like that.
Nice.
It's true. It's going to start with the first one, right?
Yeah. All right, Trevor, one more five-star there, a quick one.
This one is says, "Great podcast, lots of info and fun," from Iowa Texan. Have you ever felt like you should sit down for an hour and slap yourself in the face?
All the time.
If so, this podcast
only
is free.
Only for the hour after this podcast.
He says, "If so, this podcast is for you. Nonstop laughs and good information, now with extra squirrel moments." They put a lot of thought into these, so I certainly appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Very good. Yeah, no, five-star reviews on iTunes, U.S. or Canadian. We certainly do appreciate them, and as you can hear, we read them out. So send one in. Shout-outs, Trevor. It looks like these are all yours, so go crazy. Yeah.
Jeff Reese from Calgary is a liberal, gun-hating
1911 lover?
Yeah.
And he eats babies?
Is it your shout-out?
does he kill baby kittens, too? I'm curious.
There was timing involved in that one for the delivery. Thanks.
No, don't worry. Sure. Mr. Castle is a bad man.
He is.
And Mark and his son, Justice. Somebody named their son Justice?
That's me.
Oh, that's yours.
My shout-out.
Oh.
So now you're taking Matthews, too. See?
Well, he's
Owens,
but
I mean, no, you're taking
they
Owens
might as well be mine
Owens
now.
So much funnier if I not messed it up.
So my shout out this week is to Mark and his son Justice, who
names their kid Justice.
I know.
All right. No.
See, awesome. Here in Canada, it should just be legal. We don't have a justice system; it's just a legal system.
That's right. Yeah. Well, this guy's awesome. So, to those two guys, I don't know if they listen to the show. They may in the future, because I'm going to tell them to listen to it. But good luck on your course coming up in February and with your future with firearms. And hopefully we'll get to the range lots more, and maybe we'll see them at an IPSC match, because Mark can shoot.
Cool.
For a guy who never shot a gun before, he can shoot.
Very awesome. Nice. All right. So who's this Mr. Castle, and why is he a bad man?
He was one of those clowns that sent me the picture of that, that AR with the case-hardened receiver in the wood.
People, Trevor needs you to stop doing that. His blood pressure, keep sending him those. Keep sending them.
A stroke out on my keyboard one of these days.
It's funny. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. Please be sure to check out one or both of our National Firearms Associations, and by that I mean sign up for both of them right now if you haven't. CSSA and the NFA, they both do great things for us, helping preserve our firearms privileges here in Canada. So check them out. Be sure to check us out on the Gun Owners of Canada online web forum. It's a pretty neat place to hang out. Please be sure to go like us on the Facebook page. So we are in a competition with a local library. They don't know it, and that's why we're about to win. But they have 266, and we have 252. So, Trevor, I won't get you to do the math this week, because I noticed you bleeped that part out of the show last week where you couldn't do the math. So I'm gonna let. So if last week's ending sounded a little stilted, that's because Trevor did not want to admit. He couldn't 14. Subtract 244 from 266, but that's okay. Sure. No problem.
Your jerk has no bounds.
None at all.
Oh. Names on the lunchbox.
So finally, the Crusader Podcast Network. It's the network that we are on, along with a lot of other really cool shows. Please go over, check it out. Check out the other shows. There's some really good content. It is an American network, but there is a lot of Canadian content on there. And just a little teaser and a heads up, there may be a new Canadian podcast network right around the corner. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. So Schmickle, Schmickle, and Schmickle.
Yes, Schmickle.
Schmickle.
It was a good show, guys. Thanks thanks again, Greg, for joining us. Mm-hmm. Trevor and Owen, of course, it's always a pleasure. Any last thoughts, anyone?
Not for me.
Last funny. Thoughts. Go check out the Warriors there? Ethos podcast, because he just put out a really crappy show.
A really short one, too.
I really, really enjoyed your finishing quote at the end of the show. I thought it was really good.
All right, everybody
worth listening to just for that quote.
Head over there and check it out.
Yeah, and another one coming soon. So
very good. All right, I think that's it, guys. Let's wrap this up. So everybody stay safe out there. We'll see you next week.
And be sure to take somebody shooting. I'm Schmickle.
I'm Schmickle.
We're all Schmickle.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Me first. should I do Trevor last then? Do Greg next?
Absolutely. Greg. Actually, I'll leave it for a while and let him...
Let Trevor stew for a little while?
Yeah, let him stew for a little while and actually see how long it takes before he messages you with some snarky comment about adding.
Are you going to add me or what?
Yeah.
Greg, you there?
Yeah.
We're just wondering how long we should wait before I add Trevor.
I don't know.
This is all being recorded and it's an outtake, so however long you think.
However evil you feel.
Oh, I feel fairly evil tonight.
Yeah, me too.
Trevor, you're not going to hear this until you listen to the recording, but this was fun.
What a bully.
Who, me?
Amazing. Just give him a little bit of power, and he just
I run with
nuts.
It. It's like...
He just goes full bully.
Power! All right, here, let's add him. Let's see what happens here.
All right.
You there, Trev?
No.
Oh, it took you long enough. What took you so long? I tried calling you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah?
No.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Oh. Okay, just checking, just, you know, making sure.